This is the Alpaca Podcast for all things alpaca. If you're an owner, a soon-to-be owner, a want-to-be owner, or are just alpaca mad or love the fleece, welcome to the Alpaca Tribe. I'm Steve Hetherington.
Hi, Steve here, and welcome to the podcast for alpaca people. Great to see you again. So, over breakfast today, the girls have been through their soaked food. They've enjoyed that. It's cold, it's frosty, it's winter. They're quite hungry, so the rations have gone up a bit. And I've just put out the alpha ray, the chopped alfalfa. It's got a little bit of molasses on there as well, which helps. Particularly this time of year, a bit of extra sugar accessible to them. So I've spread that out, and they've got some lovely dirty noses because it's all dusty. And some of them in particular seem to really stuff their heads and noses into the food and get all the stuff all over the nose. So they're enjoying that mostly. It's okay at the moment because there's enough to go around, but we're going to shortly run out of spice and run out of food, and they're going to start demanding, "It's mine, you can't be in here." And Ellie's running around trying to find some space to get in. She's always first to the food, so she's already had her share, and now she's trying to get some more, and she's trying to squeeze in, and there are others that are definitely pulling rank and pushing her out for old Ellie. But she's doing right. She's doing right. And every now and again, see, she hears me. She'll come back. If the others have moved off, she'll come back if she hears me sort of topping up the bin of food or whatever. And she'll come back and just check. And so she does get treats. She does get extras. She's managed to find a space, and she's got her head in the trough now. So that's done. I'm just going to capture a picture. So if you want to see the picture of them eating the alpha ray, then you need to go to the website, which is alpacatribe.com. That's alpacatribe.com. And the latest episode will have some photographs.
So I emptied the wheelbarrow and did some topping up of food, all the rest of it, none of which I managed to capture because I ran out of steam. Not personally, I was okay, but I ran out of battery power. The cold weather just kind of challenges batteries, I think, generally, but particularly my phone. So my phone stopped working. So I've been thinking about, Happy New Year, by the way, I've been thinking about continuity. What is continuity? Continuity is keeping going, continuing the same. And sometimes continuity is I'm on a journey, on a trajectory. I'm moving forward and there are things still ahead to be done. And sometimes the continuity bit can shift slightly. It's subtle. It's a subtle shift. But it can shift to being conservation in a kind of keeping what you've already got. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good plan to have as well. But that's not quite the same as a forward, onward direction. And I think any decisions like that, that kind of the default, you keep going, is best done intentionally rather than accidentally. Do you know what I mean? So, yes, breeding next spring or adding more in or carrying on doing walks with alpacas or whatever it is, it's helpful to not assume either way, either that you'll continue or that you'll not continue, you know, that you'll stop. So making an intentional decision, that's just been, I guess that's the new year thing, isn't it? What's this year going to hold? Oh, I don't know. What did last year hold? Could you have known in January what was going to happen through 2024? I didn't, for sure. There were lots of things that caught me out, and the things that, yeah, I noticed after the event. I had no idea in advance. So looking ahead to 2025, I can't get my head around that. I can't get my tongue around that either. 2025, it feels a bit 2025. It's the repetition of the 20, I guess. 2024 didn't have the same. That's not a problem, I can say that. Anyway. Enough of that. So 2025, what's it going to contain? What's it going to be? And what can we decide that it will contain and that it will have in there? So like you can, at this time of year, can sit down with a seed catalogue with all those pretty flowers, all those amazing vegetables, all that kind of stuff, and you can look at and say, that would work well in the garden, right there. That would be the place. That would be the thing to have. Oh, look what it says. It's a maximum height of this. Oh, you don't always believe that, though. And it's spread of this. Well, yeah, I don't believe that either. But it's a good time to be getting the seed catalogues out and spreading them out and working out what you're going to plant, where you're going to put it, and what would be really nice. Oh, we've had those before. How about we try a different variety? So that's plants, that's seeds. But what about alpacas? Well, planning ahead for the breeding season, getting the paperwork out, looking at the plans, the previous matings, looking at the bloodlines, avoiding too close crosses, but just working out what is it, the different characteristics, the density or the fineness, which are the bits that we'd like to try and bring together. And sometimes doing the same, continuity, doing the same breeding is worth trying. It's not going to be exactly the same, probably, but it could be. Sometimes it is. There's no control over this, is there? It's all random with a bit of wishful thinking and hopefulness thrown in for good measure. So we make these decisions, make these plans, and this is part of the excitement of the breeding program, of trying to achieve something. And if you've only got a few animals, it's hard work. It takes a long time to make a bit of progress. But it's worth thinking about, it's worth planning, it's worth moving forward with these things intentionally. So who would you mate with who? What is the characteristics that you're trying to increase? What about the offspring? What can you know about those? Is it they look great 6 month old, 12 month old? What do they look like at 3 years old? Have they still got that fineness? What about 5 years? What about 10 years old? What are the characteristics now? Are we finding things that are emerging that are kind of, that's interesting. That's not a trait we would have wanted to have included here, which could be a predisposition to skin problems or teeth problems or something. Some of that is genetic, some of it's environmental, and we're responsible for the kind of food we give or just one of those things that happens. It's things you can't control. But where it is genetic, where you can have a think about what the offspring has been, and that's one of the lovely classes or particular kind of show where they're looking at the offspring. The show is not the animal itself, but it's the offspring of that animal. So they'll bring together the offspring of a particular sire, and the sire can win the rosette, can win the show without even being there, because it's the offspring that are being judged. This one-off can be seen. There are 3-5 progeny. So it's a progeny class. And it's quite difficult to do in some ways, but I think that's a really good way of judging things. What kind of things? And you get some of the big names, the stud males that are you're using your services. That's easier to judge. But when you've just got a few alpacas, back to the smaller setup, if you've just got a few alpacas, it's much more difficult to judge because you haven't got the numbers, you haven't got the data. So you just try to be as clear as you can, make the best decisions from the knowledge that you've got. So what knowledge have you got? And that's where we're back to record keeping, and that's a helpful thing. Good time of year to be catching up on making sure everything's all up to date and that you've got things in place to be able to capture that, whether it's on your phone. Actually, phones are almost always, isn't it, that we've got a phone with us. So what can you do on your phone that you can capture the details? And I think I've mentioned before, I use an app on my iPhone, which is called Bear. It's only on the iOS, only on Apple, which is a shame. It's an outstanding piece of software. And if I only had one piece of software on my phone, I would keep that. But there are other things. There are notes. There are things you can do. You can capture them by audio. You can do a little voice note, a little dictation. I do that into Bear, and it produces the written text there, or I write it by hand and use my thick thumbs and fumble my way through and spell things incorrectly. I thought I was spelling it correctly, but yeah, find something that works for you. There's lots of apps out there. and there are lots of things that you could do. You can build into that dates for follow-up. So it'd be to-dos and that kind of thing. So different apps for that. And yeah, that it's worth having a think about, is this the most efficient way of capturing all of this information? And as I say, with the Bear app, I can include a photograph as well. Hey, that's good. Photograph, text, sound, if need be, little video clip can go in there as well. So all these things can be all together, and I know where to find it, and I can tag them so that I can search for them as well. So that's my solution. What's yours? Have you got a solution for recording these things, for identifying what it is? And that would be true for the offspring as well, to be thinking through, think about the fleece. If you've got fleece that you can kind of go look at, then and handle, that's always useful. Don't just rely on your memory, but get your fingers on the thing. And with a bit of practice, you can train the sensitivity of your fingers to pick up the fineness. Have a reference point. Have something, if you've had it tested and you've got a number for the fineness, how many microns, then that's a really useful thing. And you can make a little board and have them of, this is a 16, this is a 20, this is a 24, or whatever micron piece of a fiber. And then you've got that as a reference point. I think this is really fine. But then you compare it with something, you realize it's got a lot of crimp, or it's got a lot of something, but it's not as fine as you thought, or it is finer than you thought. What about the medullation? What about the straight hairs that are going to give you that prickle, and not the comfort factor, but the prickle factor? So there are things there that are worth recording, worth capturing, but don't make an industry out of that to the point where you spend a lot of time collecting information that you never use, or that it's frustrating, it's hard work, it's complicated. Don't make the big system that you never use. Keep it simple and straightforward that gets used every day. That's a much better way of approaching it. So start simple, start straightforward, and you just see. So, hey, January, good time. Start a new something, whether it's a folder or a document or something that you can start. These are your January records of your animals. So, okay, pick a day and then do body scores of all your animals and anything else that stands out. Any limps, any odd-looking things in terms of around the feet. Maybe check the jaws over. You can do basic quick husbandry check. How are the eyes? Are there any infections? Any there? Just have a quick look over. Any funny smells? You do get them sometimes, don't you? Where you go, oh, this is indicative of something else. So that's all worth doing. So there's plenty of things there that you can capture in terms of information and data. But it's just a quick way of being able to do that as a reference point. Even if you were doing that quarterly, well, that would be useful as a comparison through the year. And it's useful to know when you come to shearing, when the fleece comes off and you can see the bodies and you can handle them and you've got a much clearer idea of what's going on, you can see what condition they're in. You know, you think they're going okay through the winter. When you come to shearing, you can see much more clearly, this is good condition. They did well. And so I've got my four older girls with the red coats on, as you can see in the pictures and the video on the webpage at alpacatribe.com. And that helps them through this difficult time. And I've found that when I've used the coats in the winter, that when we come to shearing, they're in better shape. So I'm starting to get some data here of, I did this and this helped and this did that. So just encourage you to think about your practice, your methodology, how you're going to collect data and information, and then think about it. And then for the breedings, more detail required, looking back, looking related, offspring, half-sisters, half-brothers, that kind of thing. So you've got an idea of what's going on. But yeah, so now is a good time to be thinking about the breedings. You're not going to do anything for quite some time, so you've got plenty of time to just muse, have a muse, have a think. Well, I wonder what would happen if we crossed this one and that one, and just get your head in that kind of space. And when it comes to making the decisions, perhaps that will help you become clearer. So my plea at the start of the year is for intention, for continuity, sure, but not just conservation, but carrying on that trajectory of improving our ability, our confidence, our skills, improving our relationship with our alpacas so that they're confident in us, that they're happy and healthy, and that we are confident and fulfilled owners of those happy and healthy alpacas. So it takes a bit of longer-term view to pick up on those things. But what are the things you'd like to learn this year? What would you like to get better at? So that's part of the continuity, continuing to learn, continuing to grow. And what are the things that you need to keep doing or you lose? Keep using it or you lose it. So there may be some things that you need to do a bit more of. Maybe you need some help. Maybe you just need some inspiration and motivation that comes from working with other people. Is there anybody else you could help? Is there somebody, a younger person, or be interested in animals, or someone who has just got alpacas and is learning the ropes and literally, probably? Then spend a bit of time with them and then just invest in, pass it on, you know, pay it forward. And that's one of the things we seem to do with the alpaca industry and the people. Alpaca owners generally are very generous with their time and their knowledge. And there's a great WhatsApp group. So maybe you could find ways to encourage and work with other people, build them up a bit as well. So yeah, happy new year. And let's see what comes in 2025. But let's be deliberate and intentional about what we'd like out of it and how to keep going. What's the thing that is going to be growth for you this year? It doesn't have to be numbers. It doesn't have to be those kind of things that most people measure. But what is it going to be for you? What would success look like for you in 2025? Hey, it's cold out there. That's why I'm indoors recording now. Even though my battery's now fully charged, I didn't stay out very long because it was really cold. But the girls have felt well fed and ready for the night. If you can, go spend some time with your alpacas and breathe. Take care. See you again soon. Bye for now. This is the Alpaca Tribe, and I'm Steve Hetherington. Have a great day.